This year's donations might go to, say, the geology department.
Oh dear, not the dirt people.
Geology is the study of pressure and time. That's all it takes, really.
What kind of activity is terminal acid?
Look, I'm just a geologist. I like rocks. I love rocks.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the Geology Flannelcast. My name is Steve.
Hey, what's up? I'm Chris.
I am Jesse. And I like to bring it every time. I want it to be my thing.
Yeah, we're super excited to be here for yet another episode. Episode 55?
55.
Oh, 55.
Woo. I feel like we didn't celebrate 50, so maybe we'll celebrate 55.
Yeah, I wish I had a bell. I'd be ringing it right now.
Ding, 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 ding. What do we do for episode 50? I feel like we had a guest on for episode 50.
We did.
Yeah. They let us down. Oh, yeah.
What?
I'm kidding. Guests never let us down. They're always awesome.
Dude, if it was Kelly, she'll kick your ass, man. You have to be careful.
Oh, that is true. No, Kelly. Kelly's episodes are always our most popular episodes. Kelly should really just host this podcast and we should just come along. So if you're listening, Kelly, that's not really an option. I take that back.
Nope. She's in charge now. I wish she would join. She joins this call right now, mutes us.
I'm
in charge.
I'm the captain now. She is the captain. We used to call her the captain back in grad school.
Oh, we did.
Yeah. So,
well, she's episode 50, we actually had a bang for episode 50. That was we had Ryan come on, Jesse's brother Ryan.
Oh, God.
Oh,
Chris. Yeah. Chris Conwell talked about the Ordovician and strontium and all that fun stuff.
Less fun for me.
So, well, welcome everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's why don't we just pay the bills?
Yeah, let's do it. Formattingformula.com. Have you ever had to format a Word document? And the answer is yes. Who is listening to a podcast who hasn't had to use Word ever? If you are one of those people, please send us a message. I'd really like to hear your story.
Did you never use Word?
Yeah. Think about it.
My grandmother's never used it.
Is she listening to this podcast?
Yeah.
Probably not.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're tech savvy enough to listen to a podcast, chances are you've used Word at some point in your life.
Prove us wrong. Steve at geologyflannelcast.com.
Exactly. But, I'm actually – I use formattingformula.com so much now that I'm actually spoiled. Like, I don't even bother trying to figure out how to format something. I just go right to the website, right to the YouTube videos, youtube.com/c/formattingformula.com. And I just watch a video. It's like, 7 to 6, 5, 4, 3, 10 minute videos on anything you need to do and all the different versions of Word. The formatting formula actually contacted me. It's like, I can tell you what all the different versions of Word are. You don't have to keep saying like Word,
I like it.
Word
I like
4.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, feel free to send that to me and I'll just ignore it.
Word 4.
Love you, formatting formula. But all different versions of Word. They have videos for Mac and for PC because they're slightly different. All different crazy stuff that you can do with it that would really, really make your life easier. Even if you just use Word once a week, the formatting formula can help you out somehow. I used it for my master's thesis. I know people have used it for their PhD dissertations. I've known people have just had an issue like, oh, I just can't get this table to update. How do I look through that? You go to youtube.com/c/formula and bam, you figure it out in just a few minutes. So please check them out and please, please, please tell them that the Geology Flannelcast sent you because we want to continue paying the bills with the formula. Pretty soon they're going to catch on that we're really, we're only helping out so much, but so check them out. I love them. You love them.
Steve, just to let you know, Word 6 came out in 1993.
There you go. See?
Was there a Word 1 through 5? Or was it one of those weird tech things?
I'm just on the
I remember there was page. Something called Word Perfect, but I think that was that's not a Microsoft product.
There's WinWord. Yeah, Word Perfect. You don't. Who cares? We're not doing that, people. We don't deal with Word anymore.
But what if we were like a historical PC podcast?
Then our podcast name would be different.
It would. And we'd probably have even less listeners.
It would be single digits, if that.
But how many, you know, last week we were up to 197,000 downloads. So we're getting really close to that 200,000 download mark. I think once we hit 250,000, we should do something.
Yeah, that'll, sure, whatever you want. Like a moon bounce, like Petting Zoo.
Ooh, 225,000 downloads, we get a moon bounce and we podcast from a moon bounce.
Actually, I wouldn't mind that at all. I mean,
sounds incredible.
Yeah. Hey, so tell your friends to download the Geology Flannelcast.
Yeah. And
you can hear us. And we're not going to get the moon bounce. Who's kidding here? That's.
I mean,
chances are COVID will still be going on, and we'll be all.
I hope. No, that's terrible to say. I don't know how. You hope. I would like to think that we're going to get 225,000 downloads soon. Let me put it that way. Sooner than COVID will probably go away. I don't.
I mean, I'll jump on my bed or something while I'll simulate a moon bounce.
There you go. Yeah. I like it. My kids will like it too.
If you want to watch Jesse jump on his bed, you can become a diamond Patreon at $25 a month, and Jesse will.
I would, yes. If you become a diamond Patreon, I will definitely podcast. It'll make you like motion sick because my camera will just be like shaking. Because I assume I'll be holding my laptop while.
Yeah.
I just imagine it'd be like the 1979 video by Smashing Pumpkins. Like,
exactly.
Jesse's jumping on his bed.
Meanwhile, anyone who's younger than 35 is like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, nobody knows. Yeah. Smashing what?
What is a music video?
Yeah. All right. So let's enough with the rambling and ranting and raving. And
yeah, but formatting formula, check them out. Longest commercial ever. But yeah, let's but Patreon, that is a good segue. We do have Patreon. We do appreciate anybody who's willing to help and support us. We have a Patreon listener listening to us right now. Mark, he got to listen to us before we actually started recording too. So that's one of the perks of being a Patreon.
Little Q&A session, little meet and greet and hang out, you know? Yeah. Get to know us. Get to know the other side of the Flannelcast.
Yeah. We'll get into some conspiracy theories and all kinds of weird stuff.
Oh, you missed the Bob Lazar conversation before we started recording.
Ooh, no.
You don't know who Bob Lazar is.
you didn't miss anything.
Yeah, until like that's all I start looking into now.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Aliens are real. What?
Aliens, all right, man.
Nobody cares about nobody that's tuning into this podcast wants to hear about aliens. Let's talk about geology. This is the Geology Flannelcast. We should Flannelcast geology topics.
Yeah, if you do care about aliens, let us know. We'll do a spinoff.
I'm all for that. Or you become also a missed Patreon that
conversation too.
Because when you're a Patreon, you get to suggest topics. So.
I hope it's all Bigfoot.
Man, all right, I got a story. It's not exactly aliens. It's kind of maybe related, but it has to do with COVID. Let's start off with this one. What the hell? Here we go.
I want to see where the connection is here. This is incredible.
For those of you who are listening, Jesse and I are like literally sitting on the edges of our seats because we have no idea what Chris is about to say. but if you're watching, I'm just going to go ahead and put my sunglasses on and just sit back.
Yeah.
All right. Let me, so we got a bunch of, some timely news topics today that we're going to be talking. Let me just send this over to the fellas right now.
Wait, are you not going to tell us about aliens and COVID?
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, like, so I'm just sending you the link first. Here's the link.
Are you actually going to give us 10 seconds to look this up?
I did. I actually saw this story.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
All right. So like if story. You, yeah. if this,
made me think, I did see this story too.
Nice. this one made me think. Like, is this really a good idea? Because so let me start off. I think I said the story once before in the podcast. Actually, fairly recently, within the last couple months or so since we did our reboot. But let me just start off with saying a complete urban legend in the field of geology, right? I can't confirm nor deny this story. We've all three of us have heard this story. And so there is a gentleman, he was a geologist, he was a miner, you know, working in a mine, not under the age of 18.
actually, we can't confirm or deny it what his age was, but there.
Allegedly, no. So the gentleman was a miner, and he was working in this mine, and was looking for some kind of mineral. They're mining some type of mineral that had potassium in it, and it had a bitter taste.
I think it was a salt mine.
Oh, was it a salt mine?
Yeah, it was a salt mine.
Okay, I don't know what it was. I just made that potassium part up. It doesn't matter.
No, you're correct. It was that they would actually direct the mining operation. Like, if it's more potassium rich, it's more bitter. So okay. they would actually steer the mining.
Yeah.
Based on.
Just keep in mind, this story is probably not true.
And I think we've told this story on the podcast before.
No, so I'll go real fast then. I don't want to bore people that already heard this story, but the gentleman was licking the walls of the mine wherever it was bitter. That's where they would extract for the for that mineral.
Yeah, the snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Exactly. I love that movie. I didn't see the second Super Troopers.
That line is from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
But snozzberries taste like snozzberries?
Yeah.
Super Troopers.
It's Super Troopers ripped it off, like stole that line from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Really?
Yes. Really?
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's Veruca Salt says it.
Veruca Salt. There's your 1990s band reference. Alt rock band reference right there.
Anyway, carry
so
on.
So the gentleman was looking
for I'm taking for these mineral. Glasses off. By the way. can't see my screen. They're polarized.
He went home one day and his tongue swelled up. No, he didn't know what was wrong. Went to the emergency room. Doctors had no idea. Started asking him questions. What do you do for a living? If he said, I work in a mine, you know, they found out that he's looking the walls in a mine. Anyways, what homeboy did was he reactivated a virus that was like hundreds of millions of years old, because once he licked it, that, you know, the conditions in your mouth, in the human mouth, are just a breeding ground for viruses and bacteria and all that fun stuff. So long story short, they had to amputate this gentleman's tongue. So
yeah.
Don't lick the walls of the mine, and also don't lick the rocks. Nothing good can come of this. So
that is not true. I've licked lots of rocks.
Why would you do that? Why?
To find out the salt content and or to find out if it's a fossil. If you lick a fossil, yeah, it'll stick to your tongue.
Have you ever seen I think it's a Japanese game show where they're in a room, and there's some of the objects are made of chocolate, but they look like everyday objects. So they have to go around fighting things. That's how I...
What rabbit hole did you find show?
I don't know. But I want rocks in nature to be like that. Like, one day I just bite into it.
Yeah, you know, it also looks like chocolate you see on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just down along the Chesapeake Bay last week, and I was walking along the coast, and there's rocks, and because we had some big storms roll through, and it always just flushes things down, and it's kind of nice to pick up big, nice pieces of granite and stuff. And there was one, and I stepped on it, and it just went squish, and it was just a ball of clay, and I was not expecting that. I was like, ooh, that's not a rock. Like a ball of clay that washed out.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't want to say this, but where are you going to find granite? I guess maybe the northern Chesapeake Bay, right? You can find...
Yeah, it washes.
Metamorphic outcrops. Okay.
Yeah, it's just...
I was just waiting. I'm just protecting you, because I know people will send emails saying...
Yeah.
It's all coastal plain, but no, I think yeah.
Yeah,
long,
no, it's all the, the Chesapeake Bay is from the Susquehanna River, which is the oldest river system on the planet.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. I'll give you that. Okay.
Thanks for giving me river erosion.
Anyways, so I got this news story, and the headline is, scientists have, quote, woken up microbes trapped under the seafloor for 100 million years. This horrifies me because this is like, I don't know. I'm very concerned that this is like COVID part two happening. Researchers have successfully revived tiny microbes trapped dormant in a seemingly lifeless zone of the seabed for more than 100 million years. So basically, these researchers collected sediment cores and they found these microbes in this 100 million year old sediment, and they were able to, I guess, for lack of a better term, I'm not a biologist, but revive these microbes.
Yeah, so they fed it. They gave it some.
Yeah. I was just looking for. They give it. Okay.
They gave it oxygen.
Yeah.
And traceable substrates containing carbon and nitrogen.
Yes, that was the line I was looking for. Yeah. Oxygen, carbon, and nitrogen. Yeah.
So basically, they were buried under like immense pressure with no oxygen for 100 million years, and then they brought them back up and were like, "Here, little buddy, have some food."
Yeah, so, I think they're dropping and they're like, "Live, damn it!"
Yeah,
it's like this is like. Well, actually, Steve was wearing before we started recording. Steve was wearing the sunglasses because he said, "I'm gonna," which is, "I'm gonna mimic," or
"I'm gonna weaken a Bernie's."
Weaken a Bernie's. This is like microbial weaken at Bernie's right here.
Yeah, that would be weaken at Bernie's too, when the voodoo actually makes him come alive.
There's your first 90s movie reference of the day. I'm gonna write that down on my dry erase board.
That's a good question. I don't know.
There you go. One 90s reference. What's a good question?
Weekend of Bernie's was 1993. You're right. So,
would you think it could have been 80s?
Yeah, I was thinking 80s. I'm guessing Weekend of Bernie's one was.
Probably was. That was.
Don't worry, I'll check it out.
He's looking at. All right, so let's get by. Steve's doing this very important fact checking about Weekend at Bernie's. This is crazy. No, they
1989. That would count. 89. As an 80s,
okay.
Oh.
80s. So these people, these scientists that were working on this, were able to revive up to 99% of the original microbe community.
Yeah, 99.1%.
99.1%. So like. 0.9% wasn't able to, you know, come back alive. Yeah.
Like they're like, wait, what?
What are you doing?
Year
what
are you is doing?
I don't know. I'm sure it was, you know, very controlled situations, but I thought that was kind of funny, just to kind of compare that to, you know, like,
all right, or like crazy,
Yeah.
For the second time in 2 weeks, Jeff Goldblum, life will find a way.
Oh yeah, there you go. Classic movie. One of these, we've been talking about this for a while, but one of these days we're going to sit down, we're going to watch a geology related movie together, and you'll hear our commentary.
I'm all in.
Yeah. Okay. We should do that pretty soon. We've gotten some emails, you know, you guys should watch it. You know, people have given us geology movies to watch and for us to critique and comment, but we really need to do that.
Episode 60. Let's call it out right now.
I'm writing on my dry erase board. Episode 60. Perfect. Done. All right. Yeah. You heard it first. That's we have 55 today.
Yeah.
So yeah. 5 weeks from now.
Yeah. So this one's going to come out on the 4th. Yeah.
Right.
Of August.
Right when all of us have to start teaching.
September 7th. Right after Labor Day. There.
No, perfect. September 1st. Wait.
That's a Tuesday.
55, 6, 7, 8. Oh. Yeah, yeah. September 8th.
Yeah.
It'll come out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We release them on Tuesday. We record these on Mondays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let you behind the curtain here.
All right. I don't know how we're going to do this.
I think one movie would have to be 2 episodes. So we could leave them dangling.
All right. Well, we'll talk about this off air.
What?
No, let's work out all the details.
All people really want to hear is what we're our, you know,
yeah,
our organizational skills are.
Our buddy Mark says they need to put those microbes back. This is not the year to be.
Yeah. We got enough going on.
What are you doing? We don't need this right now.
Yeah.
That's what I was, you know, I was giving a lecture on air pollution today, and I talked about natural sources. And I was, one of the things I was like, the Australian wildfires happened this year. Remember those?
Yeah.
That was this year.
I just saw a report. It was something ridiculous, like 3 billion animals died or were burned by that fire.
It was a lot. Bad. It was very, very bad.
Yeah. And the koala bears. Oh,
yeah.
That was this year. Yeah. You forget about that.
Yeah. February.
This is also the year the aliens came out, but that's
lots of things have happened.
Yeah, we're burying the lead on that one. Didn't happen, man. Yeah, so you're right, Seminac, like and Mark, this is not the year to be messing with this stuff. Come on.
Yeah, just
give us like 2 years.
But then again, like, you know, I could totally see myself being like, hey, you know, what do you think would happen if we just, you know, put some oxygen on this and give them a little nitrogen?
I know how this turned out. This is like some assistant professor is like, if I could bring these back, I'll publish in Nature and I'll get tenure and like everything will be great. Like,
well, this makes it, so this was, it was a deep sea core drill.
Yeah, the Joint Resolution. Yeah.
Yeah.
See the shirt? See the shirt?
Oh, look at you wearing the, yeah. All of the core I worked on for my PhD was drilled by the Geordie's Resolution. No, that's not true. Two of the core, the others were on land. So
yeah, I was gonna say, I thought you did a coastal plain.
But I worked in the core repository where a lot of the Geordie's Resolution stuff was stored. I was breathing in that sediment. I didn't wear a face mask. I was just.
Well, I wonder how long it took them for. Let me see if the article, if it says how long it took for that microbial activity to come back.
21 days, 6 weeks, or 18 months.
For it to come back? Because it said it where's the line in there in that article? It said it quadrupled after a certain amount of time. It quadrupled in 68 days. Okay. Oh, so, it came back. They opened it after 21 days. Okay.
So I'm just wondering if I've got 100-million-year-old like bacteria in my sinus or something.
I mean, did your tongue swell up? Do you have to amputate your tongue?
No, I didn't lick the core. I just breathed deeply as I mean, cutting it. Just dust everywhere.
Jesse also once told me a story. He's convinced he had Lyme disease, and
no. I did have Lyme.
I have Lyme disease. For it. Yeah.
Did you get treated?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
That's a joke. I thought that you didn't get treated for it, and you're just like, I think it's
no way to make this awkward, Chris.
Yeah, no. It may. There's a good. So, in Chris's defense, I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac. So there was probably before I had it. There was probably an occasion where I was like, yeah, I've had ticks on me, and I've dug out the ticks, and I've thought I've had it. But yeah, it was the summer I got my appendix out. Like 3 weeks later, I got Lyme disease.
Damn.
Wait, I didn't know you don't have your appendix.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Appendix free since 03.
No, I don't.
Boy, is your brother going to chime in on this one too? Like, oh, yeah. I don't know about that year.
No, it was 2016. I think it was the summer of Jesse.
The summer of Jesse.
Oh, yeah. No, I did know you got your appendix out. That's
it was like a week before my birthday. And then, yeah, I remember I got – this is story's going to – this is a good story for like doing field work and stuff. I got a weird rash on the back of my leg and it was really itchy. And I thought it was a spider bite because it was like sort of red and it was hard, like a big spider bite. I was like, I got a spider bite, scratch, scratch, scratch. And it just got a big rash on the back of my, because I've had ticks in me before and I've had the bullseye before.
That's not good.
No. Well, I mean, just get Pennsylvania. Tick city.
I've had tick bites where there was like a bump afterwards, and it was like there's no bullseye, but
well, so this you should get tested because so this didn't. I remember going to a barbecue at my friend's house. Remember going to barbecues? They were great.
Remember when we socialized
you could see there's
going to friends' houses. Yeah. Wow.
But my friend, and who's a doctor, she was like, "Hey Jesse, what's going on with the back of your leg there?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I got a spider bite, and you know it's just really itchy." She's like, "Yeah, that looks looks really infected. You should see your doctor about that. Well, luckily, I was going to another barbecue with my doctor. It was his house, and I went to his barbecue. I was like, "Hey, what's going on here?" He's like, "Oh yeah, it looks like dermatitis or something." So he prescribed me some antibiotics, and I went for a follow up. He didn't prescribe me right there at drinking beers at the barbecue.
Yeah, like, let me write you a script.
Yeah, he's like, come to my office on Monday.
No, just one, buddy. You're just seeing double right now.
But it ended up, it was like a month long process of like figuring out what it was, because I got a Lyme disease test and it came back negative, but it was a false negative.
Yeah. My son got Lyme's disease. He got bit at school, and it was the classic bullseye on the side of his chest. And at the time that we took him to the doctor, and they're like, no, it's just a spider bite. And I was like, it's pretty much like a bullseye. And they're like, no, he's fine. And then like a month later, his knee swelled up to like the size of a basketball. And on like a Saturday. So we, of course, take him to urgent care, and like an orthopedic urgent care, which that's a thing. And the doctor took 1 second. She's like, he's got Lyme's disease. I was like, you didn't even like do anything. She's like, nope, it's Lyme's disease. I was like, okay. So we take him to the hospital, and then they look up his file, and there's this picture of this bullseye. They're like, yeah, that's when he got it. It's like, son of a.
Yeah. So that time I did not have the bullseye. And sure enough, like, I got another test a couple weeks later, and they're like, yep.
Yeah. And that's, they say skin cancer and Lyme's disease. That's the plague of the geologist.
I mean, when I had one Lyme's disease scare, and one of my close friends down here in Georgia is, he's a doctor. And I talked to him. I was like, what do you think about this thing? I got a tick bite here, and I showed him, and he's just like, I don't know. I'll prescribe you some meds, flush it out of your system. Because it was like pretty fast. He goes, I think we can flush it out of your system relatively fast. So put me on some antibiotics, which is the same thing that they put you on for anti-malarial meds. And man, oh man, did I have some crazy dreams. Like waking up in the middle of the night and like, I don't know if this is reality or what's going on right now. It was like, it was wild what this medication did.
Rocks, right?
Yeah, so
this is a good PSA.
Well, it's a field work. I mean, are the geologists listening? I'm sure everybody's got a Lyme disease.
I've had
your Lyme disease story. Without pictures, please.
I've had two spots cut off my face. Yeah.
Wear your sunscreen.
Yeah, wear sunscreen. I don't normally get sunburned, so I never wear sunscreen. And
yeah, actually,
since that's happened, I put it on my face.
Yeah, I usually put it on my face, but I'm the same way. And like, I haven't done field work in a while, but even just being outside, like, wear your sunscreen, people.
I'll see if I can't.
I was actually going to show you. Yeah,
my farmer cam.
My arms are just being at the bay for a couple of days. I forgot to put it on one day, and my shoulders burned, and I was like, ooh. I haven't had a sunburn in a long time. Like, my dad had skin cancer. So
you also haven't seen sun in like 6 months either.
That's true. Yeah. So Jesse really hasn't left his basement.
Your vitamin D levels are like, wait, I hope you're taking a multivitamin. Yeah.
What's the thing? Bunker. What am I going to get? Rickets or what's the vitamin D deficiency that the other, I remember like we always learned growing up, like Breaker Boys, the little children they would send into the mines would get it because they wouldn't see sunlight, because you get it a lot when you're developing.
Parakeets?
I think it's rickets.
Canaries. Canary in a coal mine. It's canary. Yeah.
It's rickets. Soft bone. It's vitamin D deficiency, and like your legs bow. But they're seeing an uptick in it from kids that play too many video games.
Ooh.
That like they're not going outside enough. Because you get vitamin D from the sun. But yeah, right. I'm in my basement. Anyhow, rocks.
So, rocks. All right, you guys want to hear Jesse really go off on a tangent? I got this news story. Let me send this over to the fellows right now.
I don't want to let you down here.
No, I mean, like, I know Jesse loves this topic. We've had some we've had some research where we've Jesse and I have tinkered with the Ordovician period.
These fossils.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's actually the headline's a little wonky, but the news story's pretty cool.
That's a really pretty picture.
You're a pretty picture. Nice. So let's so gentlemen, for the listeners out there, let's talk about the Alvarez family, right?
Yeah.
With the we've talked about the Chicxulub impact creator many times in this podcast. It's one of our go-to topics on this podcast. It's one of the sexiest topics that's out there in all of geology. Like, you kill the dinosaurs. Everyone, you know, everyone loves the dinosaurs, right? So the Alvarez family was a father-son team, I guess you could say. And they're the ones that they initially point, they hinted at the fact that the dinosaurs were taken out by an asteroid impact. Actually, we talked about this last week in our great debate of asteroids versus meteors versus meteorites.
Versus the Deccan traps and volcanism. Yes.
But we talked about asteroids, though.
Yeah.
We did.
And how it's technically a meteorite once it hits the Earth's surface. But carry on.
I just don't know enough. I don't know enough to.
I don't know either. I'm just sticking to my guns. I'm saying it with confidence, so you must believe me.
There you go. Donald Trump does that a lot too. Politics. No politics.
Come
no
on,
politics.
Man.
The father, Luis Alvarez, won the Nobel Prize in physics.
Yeah,
not for that, but he was a physicist.
I saw that in the headlines.
Smart people are just smart.
Yeah,
heard it first, ladies and gentlemen, at the Geology Flannelcast. Smart people are just smart. That might have been the most insightful thing you've ever said, Peterson.
You know, they're just smart. Yeah, what did he do? He did something with hydrogen or something.
Hydrogen.
Yeah.
People did a lot of bad things with hydrogen.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
A lot of explosive things with hydrogen. Very, very, very explosive things with hydrogen.
Ooh, yeah. I love in this article, they're talking about quarries and how limestone might hold some meteorite impacts. And they're like, you know, in a limestone quarry, when they find a piece that looks like it might hold a space rock, they call Professor Schmitz. Yeah, right. How often does that happen?
One single quarry.
No, I understand, but.
How many space rocks are hitting the single quarry?
Yeah.
Well, that's where the story comes in. All right. So let's talk about the Alvarez, father and son, real fast. Walter and what was the father's name?
Luis.
I knew Walter. These were the guys that hypothesized that there was an asteroid impact that hit the Earth 66 million years ago, and that was what took out the dinosaurs. And they came up with this hypothesis because at the KT boundary, all over the world, that's the boundary. KPG, I'm old school, I'm sorry. Excuse me, you know, whatever. Semantics right there.
Hey, I don't want to get emails.
We will get them. So
I want to get less emails.
Anyways, so they ignore that. So what they noticed was at this boundary that where the dinosaurs went out, the end of the Mesozoic era, start of the Cenozoic era, can't go wrong saying that, right? There was a high concentration of the element iridium. Now, iridium is very rare in the Earth's crust. And so they hypothesized that the only way to get this high concentration of iridium was there had to have been some kind of impact. So they threw that hypothesis out there, and then, you know, sure enough, boom, they eventually found the crater. It's the Chicxulub crater at the Yucatan Peninsula. Excuse me, forgot it for a second there. Whoopsies. So anyways, that kind of started this whole thing about it really gave a boom to this whole, you know, asteroid impact or, you know, extraterrestrial impact to the Earth.
Is that a Pong?
A boom. What?
Asteroid impacts a boom?
Yeah, well, it's a really big boom.
That's what I'm saying. It was a pun. I ruined your flow. Carry on. Just because you don't understand my enormously witty pun.
I write it down on my chalkboard. Peterson's first flub of the day. Right, rolling. Right.
Come on. Like I said during our live podcast, Chris doesn't get to edit me as much.
No, well, that would might make it. No, I'm just I'm the captain.
All right. I'll just be all over right here.
So now there's, people have taken that mindset now and have kind of evolved their ideas now. And this article that's in the news right now is looking at, it's a guy by the name of, it seems Professor Schmitz. What's his first name?
Professor.
He was born for this job.
Like everywhere in this article, it just says Professor.
It says Burger. It's Burger Schmitz. He's a
sounds delicious.
Swedish gentleman, yeah. And
the quarries in Sweden.
Yeah, and what they've been doing is looking at these limestone quarries, and they're looking at things called meteorite fossils, and I guess that's where I never heard of this term before this article, so excuse me for this, but I guess is when the original meteorite is the original material has somehow chemically been altered and you know maybe weathered down or something or but they find these this evidence of these impacts, and they're like really small. In these limestone quarries, and so I guess this guy had this hookup with these limestone quarries, and they're carving out limestone for floor tiles and just whatever type of industrial purposes, and they find these little black smudges in the limestone, and they're very small. It's not like
a tenth of a millimeter long.
Some of them can be up to a few centimeters across. Right,
but
the one that they're talking about in this article.
Yeah, they said, he told his student at the time, take 5 kilograms of this rock and dissolve it in hydrochloric acid. And then
chromite, right? Is that what the mineral was?
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So there's this mineral chromite that's in meteorites. It's a really hardy mineral. It just kind of hangs out forever. And, if you dissolve any intro to geology professor will tell you that limestone dissolves when you put it into acidic conditions. And so what they're doing is they're dissolving out all of the calcite that's in the limestone. And so see you later, flush all that crap out. And then you're just left with all the impurities, and they're finding chromite, and they're using that chromite. And they're saying that's from these it's like tiny little like quote space dust. Right.
Yeah. So imagine something's entering the atmosphere, like a meteor shower, right? We've all seen those. When you see them streaking across the sky, and there's not, if you've ever seen a meteor shower where you see like one a minute, there's not like chaos on the other side of the planet where all those meteorites are hitting the surface. Mm-hmm. They actually hit the atmosphere. They break up into, essentially dust, and then, just rain down on the planet. Well, imagine a perfect collector system like an ancient limestone, ocean environment where they're just hitting and just settling down and then being trapped in the limestone for us to find 400 million years later.
We get like 200 to 400 tons of new material a day we receive in terms of space debris.
Space dust!
It's a lot. It always amazes me. So this article starts off by saying that in the country of Wales, an average of 2 olive-sized space rocks will fall in a year.
Wow, Wales is pretty small.
Wales, yeah, I didn't think about that. Like,
yeah. It makes me hungry for olives too.
Yeah.
So yeah, by the time it hits the Earth, I guess that's where this article is based out of. I don't know, but by the time it hits the Earth in Wales, quote, for this thought experiment, they're about the size of olives. It's twice a year. So what they're finding is, let me go back to where I was. So they found out that at this one quarry, they think the flux of meteorites is about 100 times greater than it is today. And they're just, and so then if you look at an area the size of Wales, it wouldn't be 2 meteorites a year, it would be 200. And so they look and it's like, holy crap, like, you know, this is
so something's half a billion years ago, we were getting 100 times more meteorites.
Yeah, I think it was during the Ordovician period. So, so 460, I think they said 460 million, 400-ish.
Yeah, 466 million year old rock is what they said.
Yeah, yeah.
So almost a half a billion years.
Yeah. So they're looking at this and they're like, holy, like, you know, wow, something was going on back then. And, you know, and so it's not like one thing that you have to understand is, you know, they were looking at one site here and we have to kind of think about that there might be some bias in the sampling going on. And they kind of, in this article, what's again, you can go to geologyfinalcast.com. We post all of these articles we talk about on the website there if you want to read it and, you know, learn more about it than what we talk about. But there might be some kind of like study bias going on with this one website, which I think is pretty cool. The article kind of, you don't really see too many articles that say some of the pitfalls that might be associated with the, you know, with the flaws with the study, but you know, that's how science works. And I commend these guys for putting that in this article. So anyway, so they're looking at in this one limestone quarry, basically dissolving out the rock and looking at these meteorites. So anyways, so they're talking about the Ordovician period, and we've talked about this in the past, and I think that something had happened. We know in the Ordovician period that there was some type of there was glacial activity during this time, and this article is kind of connecting the meteorites, the abundance of meteorites that we have, to the glacial activity during the Ordovician. And this is I threw this topic out there because I know Jesse's all about this topic about glacial activity in the Ordovician.
Yeah. Love so, it.
What do you think? I mean,
So I just pulled up the actual paper. There's a Science Advances from.
Yeah, was it the one from 2004?
No, I'm looking at the Berger Schmitz put a paper in Science Advances from last September.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I didn't actually read through it yet, but
no, I mean, I didn't read through that.
It's a legitimate journal. That's interesting.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting because we know that there is evidence in the rock record that there was during the Ordovician period.
Yeah,
you said like 460-ish million years ago that there was glacial activity going on.
And yeah, the main glacial activity was at the end Ordovician, which is like 440, 443. But at 460 whatever, 466, there's some thought that, yeah, there's glacial, because there's these big biodiversity like events. Mm-hmm. And you get one of the like rapid biodiversity events, and one of the thoughts is glaciation, fluctuating sea level, is going to cause major changes in biodiversity, because most of your life, 440, yeah, it's all in the ocean essentially at this point.
Mm-hmm. There's really nothing on land,
and so like, and it's all life even today is near the coast, and so glacial events that cause sea level to fluctuate is going to impact the shorelines, and so that's
gonna you're going to cause all those environments to go crazy, so you have to adapt or die.
It's called the Great Ordovician Biodiversification Event, GOBE. Unless it's maybe it's a Arrested Development, we can call it Job. That's interesting. I'm excited to read this paper. I'm glad you brought this up. You just made my day.
I know, like, the things that Jesse enjoys. I know he loves the Younger Dryas.
But I'll tell you what, it makes me think, like, what else are we missing? Like in all these limestone beds,
a lot. Like, no, it's just, I mean, in the article, they talk about how, like, I think one of the I don't want to screw this up, but I think one person that commented on this article, or the authors of this article asked for comment, said, I don't envy these people for dissolving out all of these tons of limestone with acid. Like, that sounds like a job for an unfortunate grad student.
Like, yeah, and it literally says, like, I had my student dissolve this stuff.
Yeah.
But 5 kilograms of rock to get 10 tiny fragments. I mean, 5 kilograms of rock is not, it's a loaf of bread.
Was it only from this one site, or were there multiple sites?
I think they're talking about this one site.
One single. And that's what I'm saying. Talking about the bias. In the article, they talk about the sampling bias, like, what's going on here, you know?
This is interesting. Yeah, if they can find another, say, limestone site, even nearby, it'd be interesting, because there was a similar case where they thought the Younger Dryas was an impact event, because people found these micro...
I thought that was... Do you know much about that, Jesse?
I do.
He does.
So is that gaining steam that there was an impact event in the Younger Dryas? It's not?
The original one that they thought where they were finding, like, the buckyball structures, the micro diamonds in North Carolina and whatnot. No, because they didn't find them anywhere else. And that was part of it. Mm-hmm. They sampled, like, this area down there, and they found them. Said they found them, but you don't find them anywhere else. And that was part of the issue, is
allegedly,
if the impact is in Greenland,
are you only finding them in North Carolina?
Yeah, and you're not, like, and they were sampled elsewhere, and you're not finding similar. And I think that was one of the things with the Alvarez, is, like, you should find iridium, right? And so they sampled in the KT boundary in Gubbio, Italy, and they found the iridium spike. And so, all right, look elsewhere. And elsewhere, when you look at the KT boundary, you find the same iridium spike around the world. And so it'd be interesting. But even if, sampling bias, like, this looks really interesting.
But what I'm saying is, any limestone bed is a perfect receptor for space dust.
That's what I'm,
like, it's essentially what Antarctica is now. Antarctica is just this, you know.
So for people that don't know, that's how a lot of geologists find these meteorites today, is they'll go down to Antarctica during the summertime. Literally, all you got to do is jump on a snow ski. What are those things called? The snowmobiles. A snowmobile.
No ski. Just start.
Thank you. Oh, all right.
Brilliant.
It
wasn't that a Comcast commercial, the slow skis?
Yeah, slow it was.
All you gotta do is jump on a snowmobile. You know what? I quit. I'm done.
I'm sorry. Carry on.
For those of you that want these confounded
contraptions, carry on.
Steve puts his glasses back on. And for those of you that actually want to learn today, okay?
It's not called a snow ski. It's called a snowmobile, but carry on.
Even a snow machine, some people call it.
Yeah. So they jump on a snowmobile, and they can travel around real fast and just look for black dots, which are essentially meteorites.
Thank you for stealing my thunder right there. Yes. Or any type of rock that's on the top of the snow. Or they'll also go to, like, some of these deserts, I think, as well, because it's like that's it. It's the only way you're going to get this rock, like, in the middle of nowhere. It comes from
with sky. Antarctica too. The rocks are usually darker, so the albedo helps heat them up, which helps melt the snow a little bit. Which, like you said, in the summer helps. You know, essentially,
aren't we just a plethora of knowledge on this topic.
Yes, because I know what a snowmobile is.
Wow! Next time, Peterson, next time you flub a word, all right? I tell you, I'm not going to edit any of this out, all right? I'll leave it in there, all right? I'm the captain, right?
Anyway, no, you're right, Chris. But you're correct. That's essentially how it's a big wide white canvas, and all you have to do is look for the black dots, and there you go. You have meteorites, because that's pretty much the only reason they would be on the surface there.
Yeah. So one other thing with this study was they were looking at, so about 466 million years ago, which is the middle of the Ordovician period. They were potentially looking, they think there was a massive collision in the asteroid belt.
Hmm.
And that kind of spewed out a lot of large meteorites and potentially caused this gargantuan cloud of dust that,
that's not the late heavy bombardment, right?
No, that's way much, after. Much, that's much, way after. Way
that's
after.
Much, much earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That goes against Milankovitch and, the Milankovitch cycles, but it's an outside
influence
source, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we kind of see something similar after the asteroid hit that that took out the dinosaurs. That's the main hypothesis, that there was a giant cloud from this impact, blocked the sunlight, killed off all the plants, or not all the plants, I shouldn't say that, but majority of the plants, stopped the photosynthesis, and see you later. A lot of stuff died out as a result of that.
See you later, alligator, except the alligator
survived. Yeah, alligators lived, yeah. So that's my story. So there you go.
Cool.
That's a pretty sweet story. I'm on board.
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
So if you're out there, just start dissolving out some limestones and just see if you find any chromite left behind.
But honestly, why not? Why not try it?
Well, the interesting thing about this, I'd never heard of a meteorite fossil before I read this article.
Hmm. So the meteorite... that's, I don't know. I feel like that's a misnomer. When I hear meteorite fossil, I think there's a fossil in the meteorite from some other.
Yeah. I don't think like it's the same thing. I was thinking about when I was reading this article was about how sometimes people call paleosols fossilized soil. And it's like, well, it's not a fossil. And I never liked that term, but sometimes some people have called paleosols fossilized soil. So.
No, it's kind of a facies, I guess. I don't want to get myself in trouble. You know, it's a recording of a depositional environment.
It's an altered deposit. That's all it is.
But it's, you're recording the alteration based on plant or
biosurficial processes.
Right. So there has to be life involved in order for you to get the soil, which means. Yeah. If there's life involved, why can't it be a fossil?
What came first, the fossil or the soil?
It's the soil or the animal. No, but it's like a trace fossil. Trace fossil isn't really a fossil, but it's a trace of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So soil, yeah, so soil, know, paleo. So well, that. No, I'm getting angry here. I think a paleosol is a fossilized soil.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
Because there's evidence of life in that.
Yes. Just like a trace fossil.
Because, I mean, when a soil...
It's many organisms. Usually when you think of a trace fossil, like you think of one single organism.
I don't necessarily see it as...
I mean, is there organic material in there? Yeah, but like...
But I mean,
I'm not... You guys know more about paleosols than I do.
Well, like, I mean, it's you're getting into... Tricky on one end, like when a soil is forming, it's active. There's an active transfer of you're adding and subtracting, say minerals and you, maybe you're forming clay. There are
organisms there.
But then when you bury it, it stops forming that soil. So it's no longer a soil. So you can't really call it a soil, because by definition, a soil has those active processes. So we call it a paleosol. So you could, I don't know if you would call it a fossil soil, but it's you would call it maybe a old, yeah, an ancient soil, but it's the same idea as like limestone. Limestone is made from organisms, right? certain types of organisms. If you can still see the shells, we call fossiliferous, but if they recrystallize,
You know what? We can go off on this topic. This is a very interesting academic debate here. But like when you see a limestone, I guess my first thought that jumps in my head, and this is just for fun here. Don't jump down my throat, people. All right. Yeah. This is a fun thought experiment we're doing here.
Chris at geologyflannelcast.com.
So when you look at a limestone, for example, you can say, like, oh, this thing used to be a coral reef, because you can pick out individual fossils.
Mm-hmm.
The soil, like there's a lot of organic material from leaves, roots, etc. Can you pick out specific leaves that caused that form that soil? Like, yes. You know what I'm saying?
Well, first
you
of all,
what I'm saying?
No, but because that would just be a fossil leaf.
Yeah.
Like, the material is usually broken down enough.
But Doug, do you understand my point that I'm trying to make?
No.
If you use limestone outcrops, for example, some limestone outcrops, you can say like this thing is a fossilized coral reef.
Yes. I understand right? that.
And you can pick out individual corals.
Yes.
With a soil, a paleosol, can you, I guess...
No, you could pick out a specific root trace that might be linked to you this kind of
root traces. Yeah, and the root trace would be the fossil. That'd be the trace fossil.
Yeah.
Yes, a trace fossil, but the soil different. You have many different soil types that preserve themselves based on their characteristics before they were buried. You know, buried at depth, I should say. You know, obviously soil is
I agree 100% with that, but. I'm just saying it's a little easier to say that limestones are fossilized material than soils are.
Basically, you're preserving evidence of life in a soil. In a coral reef, you're preserving evidence of life.
But it's easier to pick it out. It's easier to pick out the...
Listen, just because it's easy. If it's easy, everybody can do it. You know, it takes a real geologist to understand a paleosol.
That's right. That's what I tell myself.
And so I am outnumbered. So if anybody... So for maybe some new listeners out there, we are all sedimentary guys. We're sedimentary rock guys. And... Jesse and Steve have they have a very strong background in paleosols, and I don't.
Yeah. Right? right now I deal a lot with modern soils, but yeah.
No, yeah. But like, you know, you got your past advisors advisor, both you guys, same person, was an expert in you know, paleosols and soils, and that's where your background comes from. But me as an outsider kind of looking in saying, don't know if I agree that I would call a paleosol a fossil.
And you'd be wrong.
All right, you hear it first, ladies and gentlemen. Here on the telephones, yes. All right, Eddie, moving on. Fun
how many times a week do you call me wrong?
Never. I never call you wrong. What?
I've been called wrong like 8 times on this single episode. Yeah,
just today alone.
I'm wrong 98% of the time. That was a fun thought experiment.
It was. All right. Do we have another article? Or are we thinking about wrapping it up today? What are we doing?
I got tons of articles. So you guys let me know if you want to talk about
stuff. What are we looking like on time here?
Yeah, we're an hour.
Like an hour, about an hour and 15 in. A little shy of hour 15.
Yeah, what do you say we wrap it up and we save some of these beauties for our Patreons?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, for all of you who are listening and anxiously anticipating what we're going to talk about next, give us $2.
that doesn't get you the stories.
But it'll...
$5.
It'll make you feel better. And then you'll realize, like, I should have just given $5 because then I really could have found out what we're going to talk about.
Well,
yeah.
More news stories for the subscribers. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm fine with wrapping it up right now. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening to this amazing episode of the Geology Flannelcast, episode 50. Where are we at?
55.
Yeah.
I think also self-proclaimed amazing episode.
Sammy Hagar said he can't drive 55, so it must mean something.
What's the saying? It's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission, right?
Yeah. I don't know how that relates to this, but yeah.
We're saying it's an amazing episode, and
I get what you're saying. Yes.
All right, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you for but seriously, check us out on Patreon. If you have $1 to spare, or $2 to spare, or $5 to spare, or you know, some undisclosed wealth that you want to spare, please check us out on Patreon. Geology Flannelcast.
All the money we make on Patreon goes right back to the podcast. Nobody's making a profit off of this. It's just we need some equipment. Basically, it's what it comes down to. So, and if you're able to help out, we would greatly appreciate it. For all those people that have helped out in the podcast, for sponsoring the podcast, thank you so much.
Yeah, Formatting Formula. Thank you. They've been there since almost the beginning. So, thank you very much, Formatting Formula.
Yes, thank you very much. And even if you can't help out with the podcast, just tell a friend.
Yeah.
Say, hey, listen, I listened to these nerds argue about fossilized soil. I didn't know soil could get fossilized. You got to hear how dorky these guys are.
Exactly. Yeah. Listen, everybody knows at least somebody or knows somebody who knows somebody who is interested about rocks and or dirt. So... That's my 3 degrees of separation. I believe that in my heart.
Yeah, there's nothing you don't use in your everyday life that a geologist.
Yeah, that's part of being
that's
a patron.
That's really what it comes down
you get,
to.
You get to do the stump the geologist, and you get to ask Jesse, which makes him really stressed, but like slightly excited because
He likes it. He secretly loves us. Yeah.
So far he hasn't really been stumped. So, you know, just saying. If that's not enticement enough to be a Patreon, I don't know what is.
I think that's the reason your brother is a Patreon.
It's been a battle. It's been. I love watching this. Oh, I'm happy that he's not pissed off at me.
Yes.
Quickly,
we have a Patreon who's been listening in the background all day today. Mark, thank you very much for being there and listening. We appreciate it. So. Again, that's another little perk you get to be as a Topaz member. Is that Topaz? Or is that Quartz?
Topaz, Quartz. I should know this. I think Quartz. You can watch the Quartz. You can watch the episodes.
Topaz. You get to you get extra content. You get to pick content. Yeah,
you pick a topic, and then you can pick a topic to watch Jesse squirm.
Yeah,
and
apparently Diamond member, which we haven't really officially set up yet, you get to watch Jesse podcast while he jumps on his bed.
It's set up. It's there. Yeah. So if you want to watch Jesse reenact the 1979 video by the Smashing Pumpkins, first, if you're young, you don't know who the Smashing Pumpkins are, you can watch that video on YouTube and then say, I want you
from my house doing it.
Yeah.
Go down the street. But.
Yeah. Over the last 4 or 5 months, I've seen people like Zoom like that, and I'm like, come on, I understand you don't care because you're not really paying attention, but the rest of us are getting car sick. Come on.
Yeah, it's not moving to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
anyways, I'd like to thank everybody that listened to the episode. We love you guys. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for everyone listening. Write us a review on iTunes. I don't know, we're on facebook.com/geologyflannelcast, Twitter at Geo Flannelcast, and
maybe we can get Kawasaki to sponsor us for their snow skis.
Oh yeah, Flannelcast themed snow ski. Shout out to our sponsor, Keeps the Lights On, Formatting Formula.
I just want to say one thing before this podcast ends. Nope.
We're done.
I have a very good friend that says he went snow skiing. All right. And I always thought that was weird to hear someone say snow skiing, but he has a boat and he goes water skiing. I'm going water skiing this weekend. All right. So there's a difference between snow skiing and water skiing.
There is. Yes. Yeah. Seriously. What circles are you rolling in?
Don't you worry about it. Come down to Atlanta. All right. Yeah.
No, Miami, Orleans.
Yeah. Too soon. Anyway.
Social distancing on the lake. All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This wraps it up for this week. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Love you guys. Bye.